Okay.
Let's go.
Fine. Like, so Sirsa on air is probably, I would say, one of the most, I think we could all agree, one of the most straightforward mitzvahs out there in terms of its substance, what you actually have to do to accomplish it. It's a couple of words. In terms of the, come again? What did you say? Okay, so he's proving the point. In other words, the joke in this regard, I think, kind of proves the point. In other words, I just think Avram's joking about it because he agrees. But in terms especially of mitzvahs midaraisa, you know, whether or not that is shubiz manazeh, objectively, you know, that act does constitute a mitzvah midaraisa, it's definitely one of the most simple and straightforward. At the same time, like, what obviously is probably the most difficult about it is just the consistency shavo, remembering to do it every single night. What? That says,
I just want you to count from now until the Omer. Whoops.
Right. And the consistency could sometimes be difficult. You know, the number of days we count Sfira, this is good arithmetic for you, Avram, is just short of like the number of Shabbosos that there are in the Jewish year. The Jewish year is about 52 weeks, 50 weeks, just shy of that. So clearly it plays a very dominant role, like in the life, in the total life of a Jew, even as, and you know, it's a very important part, even as it's like I say, very straightforward in terms of its content. One of the things in the mitzvah sphere, though, that I think gets overlooked, and it gets overlooked for a good reason. I'll explain the reason it gets overlooked in just a minute. But one of the things that gets overlooked, and this is the topic of our chabur today, is the Birchas HaMitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. And that's what I want to focus on today. The Birchas HaMitzvah gets overlooked, instead of me speaking. Why, when people give shiurim, you guys say that there's like a cliche in terms of like the area of shiurim in Sfiras HaOmer. Like, you hear the same things over and over again. But I imagine, I could be wrong, someone tell me if I'm wrong, you haven't heard a shiur on the Birchas HaMitzvah. Seriously, I'm not speaking about Akiva, saying the bracha, if you miss, I'm not talking about that. I'm actually focusing on saying the bracha. You have heard a shiur on that. Okay, so you guys will both chime in. My assumption is, what I should have said to cover my bases, that the majority of you, you'll probably have it. And the reason...
Is that how the shiur maror?
No, not at all. Okay, so good. So we're knocking up. We're close to Rove Kukol. We'll just have to hear what Avram is in just a minute, but, you know, maybe give me a second. Oh, you also? Okay, so now I can see everybody. The reason it gets overlooked, to be fair, is because Birchas HaMitzvah is usually not specific to any particular mitzvah. There's a generic and universal obligation to recite the bracha, you know, whose nusach is Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kedeshanu B'Mitzvotav, V'Tzivanu X, whatever that X is. Generally speaking, that's an obligation. Kol HaMitzvos, the Gemara Mitzvachim says, we learned a couple years ago. Were you guys here for Tzachim? That was your first year.
Tenth grade.
So then we're not dying. You probably got that far. You could have a Tzachim. Kol HaMitzvos, either way you know this, Kol HaMitzvos Mevarech Aleihen over L'Asiyasa, and that's Halacha.
What?
Good. Also good. 25 times. If only people could learn Perek HaZorik and Hamagari 25 times. That's pretty good. A whole Masechta 25 times. So, MTA, it's a good school. So that's why it doesn't garner so much attention when you're focusing specifically on Sfiras HaOmer. The Rav, quite famously, characterized Birchas HaMitzvah, when it comes to all mitzvot, like in a very important way. And it was based off of a lashon in the Rambam in the opening, in the beginning of Hilchos Brachos. The Rambam Hilchos Brachos, Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel, it's not here, basically roots the basis of Birchas HaMitzvah in the concept of Birchas Hananim. Rambam says that for the same reason, basically, for the same way you make a bracha on Birchas Hanah, whenever you're about to eat something or get Hanah from this world, you also should make a bracha on Birchas HaMitzvah. Kishem, this is the exact lashon of the Rambam, Kishem shemevarech al ha'anoya, kach mevarech al ha'mitzvah. And of course, on the surface, had the Rambam not said it, we would have never thought to pair the reason for those two recitations. When it comes to Birchas Hananin, when we think about the bracha that we make before we enjoy a delicious apple, Gemara says, that's the example the Gemara gives, it's always an apple. Gemara says, that kol hanane me'olam hazeh below bracha, we'll learn this next year, right, in case of Mavarchim, kilum off. Well, not in my year. But, Rav Rosenberg's year, but that a person who benefits from this world gets hana, which of course is the Ribon Sholom, Lashem Harasum Loah, you know, notwithstanding, you know, Ha'aretz Nasan Levnei Adam, the world belongs to the Ribon Sholom. So if you want permission to be able to have access to something that is his, that's only to him, and that human beings shouldn't have access to, you have to make a bracha in advance. That's the formula. That's Birchas Hanan. But what does that have to do with Birchas HaMitzvah? So the Rav suggests that based on this twinning of the Rambam, the pairing of the Rambam, that that's how we what our approach to mitzvahs has to be as well. The human beings don't have and shouldn't have the right to perform mitzvahs, which are access to the Ribono Shel Olam, the ability to have and develop a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond us. He's beyond our grasp and our understanding. And the whole idea that a human being should be able to be nichnas with naiv v'lichlum, to have a meaningful relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam, is only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu endowed us with the gift of being able to do it. So before we approach any mitzvah, the same way we approach any hana, a person has to make the bracha, Pirchas HaMitzvah, Kishem Shemavarech Al HaAnoya, Kach Mevarech Al HaMitzvah. That's a Birchas HaMitzvah. But that obligation, to say a Birchas HaMitzvah before we do any mitzvah, of course, is a universal obligation. So why is it worth focusing on it specifically when it comes to the mitzvah of Sfira? What does it have to tell us in the mitzvah of Sfira? And I want to argue that the Birchas HaMitzvah in Sfira HaOmer plays an outsized role when it comes to the mitzvah of Sfira. Relative to other mitzvot, where the ikur is the mitzvah and the bracha is a tafel to it, in Sfira, I think the bracha matches and maybe even outdoes in some way the actual counting, the Sfira itself. If you look in the Rambam in source number 1, you're immediately struck with this impression. And then it gets picked up on later by the poskim in a subtle way, which we'll try to put our finger on in the short time we have. The Rambam in source number 1, maybe we'll have Natan to be honest. We have Shmuel to be honest, right? In source number 1, the Rambam writes, the Rambam Shrim of Sfiras Omer, of course, appears at the end of Perek Zayin, Hilchmini Musafin, and it's a very, very a minimal treatment. It's 4 halachos, they're very short. In Shulchan Aruch, it's only 1 simon. A person can learn. You know, you have 49 days to do it. It's very easy to go through the whole thing during the time period. So the Rambam has very, very, very small treatment. But the final halacha, the last one, the one he leaves us with, but again, it's a small treatment, is a halacha completely dedicated to the Birchas HaMitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. Says Shmuel. Shem HaRambam. Yeah. No, what do you have to do every night? Yeah. So Rambam establishes, in no uncertain terms, that it's you have a tzarech levarech b'chol laila. As far as I know, the Rambam doesn't usually use such emphatic terminology, but tzarech levarech, when he talks about the brachos on other mitzvos, we won't see all of them right now, but he usually just says, umevarech, he rolls into it when he talks about a particular mitzvah. And a person takes lulav, umevarech, v'doshem kinam achalam, al or lethal, when it comes to lulav. And the example is really kind of about. But here it's vitzarech. It's like super important. It's separate halacha, vitzarech levarech. Already from the beginning, again, it's just a diyuk. From a diyuk, you can't make too much. But already from the first words that Shmuel read, it sounds like there's like a more, the Rambam's like yelling out, like, don't forget the bracha here. Why would we forget? Why is it so important to insist on the bracha? Yeah. Mana velo birich. Let's say a person counts, but forgets to make the bracha. Yachta. Wow. Why is that a wow? No, that's true. But why is the Rambam telling us this? Just a wow. Why would you ever think that if I say the day and I forget to make a bracha, that I'm not yotze. Why does the Rambam need to tell me that I'm not yotze the mitzvah sphere without making a bracha? A person forgets to make the bracha. He doesn't count. And he counts without any bracha. He's not yotze? Rambam has to go out of his way to say yata? How could you ever think you're not yotze for forgetting to make a bracha? Brachas are midi rabbanan.
I know, but that's for other ones who think you're not able to.
What?
That
is not what the Rambam is saying, yeah. And even if he would be saying that, it would still be a thing. A bracha is independent. Why would you ever think it could be ma'akev, the svira? And he has to double down. Not only yata, ve'eno chozer mevaret. If you'll notice, it's just an important part of the Rambam, because if Mishnah kind of picked up, I think, on these Lashonas in the Rambam, these very strong formulations, and kind of laid them down a little. He put them down. But I think what the Kesef Mishnah was picking up on, even though he does not going to take it as extreme as we will, what the Kesef Mishnah was picking up on was basically that what the Rambam here is saying is all Dor Sheni. Like, why should this be true? So in source number two, Vitzarech Levarech V'cholayla, commenting on the requirement to make a bracha, he says, Pashrehu. Of course you have to make a bracha. Kiderech Shem Levarech and Alkol HaMitzvos. And then again, Umasha Kasav Mana V'lo Birech Yata, Pashrehu. To brachos Einem Ma'akvos. But when the Kesef Mishnah is saying Pashrehu, I'm thinking, well then why does the Rambam even need to tell me? Because the truth is, in the Hilchos Brachos, Perikid Aleph, did I include it here? No. But the Rambam there has his treatment of Kralim Perichas HaMitzvos. You could go through all the Perikid Aleph if someone wants to study or become an expert. You know, we have an expert in Shchita here. So you want to become an expert in Hilchos Brachos, then you look at Perikid Aleph, Hilchos Brachos, that's where the Rambam does his treatment. And there he relates to a whole slew of mitzvos. And in that context, he establishes the rules. One of the rules is you make a bracha before any mitzvah, with some exception. And he also says some of the nusach ha-brachas of those mitzvos, that's one. And number two, he also tells you, in general, that brachas are not ma'akev. But even when the Rambam tells you, and if he tells you that in Hilchos Brachos, why does he need to tell me it again in Tmidim Musafin by Sfiras HaOmer? Why would I have thought that the bracha plays a different role in Sfiras HaOmer than in general? And the truth is, if you look at Hilchos Brachos, I'll say this, you have to take my word for it, the language telling me that the bracha is not ma'akev is not as strong as the Rambam's language here. Of yata ve'eno chozer mevarech. So what is unique about the bracha of Sfiras HaOmer? Why would we have thought that it is ma'akev? And the truth is, while this seems to be just a havamina, at the end of the Rambam says, you are yotze, it actually gets picked up on in a fascinating way in the by the Shulchan Aruch, by the Mechaber. Actually, the same person as the Kesef Mishnah. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, it should be on the second side, on source number 12, a very, very famous Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch, it's Maisim B'chol Yom. So let's have, who should we have read now? We have not, you want to read? Akiva. Very important halach in Shulchan Aruch, source 12. So this sounds like a person's davening, you know, Mincha Ma'ariv, but it sounds like this is before night. So before the ideal time to count. Mibo'ot Yom honestly sounds like it's before Shkia, if you ask me. Mibo'ot Yom sounds like it's before Shkia, but it might just mean, you're right, it might just mean before Tzeis HaKochavim. That's going to be important. But we'll see how the grunt interprets this. So obviously this is not the ideal time, so it no matter. Even if it's after Shkia, still not the ideal time to count. It's funny I said light, I think, but you know that's similar, right? It's a good mistake. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that you should count without a bracha. Count without a bracha if you find yourself in a minyan that's counting before the ideal time. Okay, fine. Count without a bracha. Why no bracha? It's not the ideal time, right? Okay. What does he say? What? Very good. But if you remember at night, so then count again with a bracha. So let's take a step back to analyze this. It sounds like he's saying in Yiskor, if you remember, very good. In Yiskor, if you remember, so then do the better preferred option. But what if you forget? It sounds like that was the whole reason you counted without a bracha earlier. So are you yotze your mitzvah, Shmuel, or not yotze your mitzvah when you count with the minyan, mi ba'ojo? It sounds like you are yotze. But if you're yotze your mitzvah, chevra, how can you make a bracha and count later? You hear the question?
Maybe
it's not what he says, and it's not so clear that Altanai should work. I know that you're probably aware, some posts can mention that. It's not what it sounds like. Certainly not in Pashup Shot in the Shulchan Aruch. What do you mean? Say that again. He's saying you're counting in the day in your Yotze, but then better if after Kei Takochavim you remember to count the same day with a bracha. So I'm asking, how could you count again with a bracha if you're already Yotze? Even if you'd be right, there would be a chiddush that doing that before, that keeping the count, wouldn't also, you know, prevent you from making a bracha on the mitzvah. You're trying to say that like there are two factors here. But there would be an added chiddush, which it's fine, you just have to accept it, that they're so different that we'll even let you make a bracha after you did your continuity.
You haven't done your mitzvah, you just have to count.
Right.
So then when you had your mitzvah later, you can make a bracha.
So I understand that, but it's still a little bit of an assumption. Like, why should I... You might be right, but I should be able to make a bracha now on the mitzvah part? It just, that would be unprecedented, but... That it could be. I mean, this is a very difficult Shulchan Aruch, and it needs an explanation. The Gra. Yeah.
Someone tell me where he did this. Someone quote somewhere in Shir that, what's it called? There's an Indian to count during the day for the next day. Like Rashi somewhere says you should count for the night during the day, even though you're not tired yet. I forgot why he said that.
You might be referring to the Rashi that is quoted in the Masechta Mishnah, that Abu Draham. And I'm going to get that. This is the same discussion.
Yeah,
I'm just, I may be presenting
why,
it. I'm trying to present it in a way where we can really analyze it.
I don't understand why he said that, but I'm pretty sure someone said that.
Oh, yeah, this comes from the Abu Draham, which is a report of Rashi's Minhagim, the Masechta Vitri. We'll get to that in just a minute. But the Taz, just so you should be aware, because of the difficulty, you know, that comes from the Shulchan Aruch, basically says, really, the guy counting me with Yom had kavana like shalom lase. This is not at all a kiyum in the mitzvah. He's really yotzei his mitzvah at night. Totally fine. He make a bracha with the mitzvah. So why is he counting? Says the Taz, you're just doing it so that people don't think that you're being porish mat tzibur, that you're someone who doesn't count. But don't think when the Shulchan Aruch says to be monem mi bo yom. If that's really you fulfilling your obligation, really you have to have in mind kavana lo latze. But of course, that's not what the Shulchan Aruch says. But that's how the Taz resolves this problem.
That's, if you look, the Shulchan Aruch sounds,
yeah, exactly. And he also never says shalom latze. It's kavana, you know. So the Gra, however, interpreted the Shulchan Aruch exactly in this way, and he accuses the Shulchan Aruch of thinking that what chevra. The bracha is ma'akev. It doesn't fully resolve the Shulchan Aruch, but this is the point I kind of want to take out of this for our purposes. In Source 13, and look at the Gra, he says, "Hainu bein hashmashos sheyotze b'di'eved kevin shusfeged rabbanon." So it's a time period in which you would be b'di'eved yotze the mitzvah had you done it properly. Ukimashe kasavdi b'simin b'siv dalid. The svirulei key line de bracha me'akev le'inyan zeh sheyachzor v'yivarev ukamoshe kasafti. Those were the key lines, and it's me'akev that you'd have to make another. You'd have to do it again and make a bracha. Ukamoshe kasav le'inyan sviras ha'omer.
Specifically, dafka sviras ha'omer, or
yeah, exactly. Oh, you're asking a good question.
Why do you have to say le'inyan zeh?
Right, I think it's dafka sviras ha'omer. And then he says, "Ukemash kasad yisimin v'simin samuch seif beis le'inin kriyas shema." Ukemash v'shalmi perak aleph. So he says that it's just like I wrote by Birkos kriyas shema as well. So the bracha on Sfiras Omer in this view, is ma'akev, and it's compared to a bracha like Birchos Kriyas Shema, which are ma'akev, the way that the gra, what the gra is explaining, as well. Fascinating idea that the bracha would be such a
exact opposite.
The Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah.
So presumably this is not the Shulchan Aruch's own view. That's what's important always about the Shulchan Aruch versus like Kesef Mishnah Beit Yosef. And that's, we'll see that in just a minute, Alicia. Umi Kriya Shema Ein Raya. The Gra writes, initially I thought Kriya Shema, the Brachos being Ma'akev, was a good Raya, but it's not really a good Raya. Kima Shekosav HaRashba, the Brachos, Lo Al Kriya Shema Niskenu, Ukimo Shekosavdi, over there. So, and this is important, again, the Yeshiva is going to learn Masechet Brachos next year, the big debate about the nature of Brachos Kriya Shema, if they function like a regular Birchos HaMitzvah. The Rashba's view is that Birchos Kriya Shema are totally independent from Kriya Shema, so much so that the way to look at it is Chazal wanted us to say Birchos Kriya Shema, and the best place to put it was next to Kriya Shema. It made sense to put them next to each other. But they're two separate obligations that a person has. So Birchos Kriya Shema, if they are Ma'akev, says the Gra, according to the Rashba, is because that's the mitzvah, to say the Bracha. It's not a Birchos HaMitzvah to Kriya Shema, but Tzvirus HaOmer, where the Bracha is the Birchos HaMitzvah, that being Ma'akev, you can't compare to the Brachos of Kriya Shema, because the Bracha of Tzvirus HaOmer presumably is a regular Birchos HaMitzvah, and we know that Birchos HaMitzvah, Brachos ain't a Ma'akev. So Tzvirus HaOmer is alone, and nevertheless, it seems like it's Ma'akev. But, V'ayim V'Rashba, Simin Reish Lamed Heish, Tamei Me'od Al Zeh, Rashba, is very bothered by this because of Shem Sheacher Kasav Kain B'Shem Rashi, because of Hushalav Rashi Chasam Alav. He's referring, of course, to source 14. The Rashba and the Tshuva was very bothered by this din in the Shulchan Aruch, which originally appears in Abu Jaham in source 14. He says because of Imachzer Vitri, which is the Talmud of Rashi, talking about the what Rashi did. Basically quotes Halach and Shulchan Aruch, HaMispal im HaTzibur mi bojo mone mohem lo bracha, Nimanavshach amar im eskor belayla. This sounds a lot like what you were saying. Im eskor belayla bebesi achzor vevarech kedin v'nimtza shalo beirachti levatala. V'im eshkach, this is very interesting, harei manisi yavim ushvus lemitzvah. If we had more time, we would analyze this and maybe what the Malchusovich really thinks. What's important is that the Gra interpreted this as basically meaning that the bracha on Svira is ma'akev. And the Rashba was very troubled by that. So he said it couldn't be Rashi really thought this, and he thinks it's a false report. Rashi, no one with authority could really think that the bracha on Svira is ma'akev. And he quotes exactly, Aval HaRambam, Kasav Imanev Lo Birech, Yatza V'cheinikr. Setting up the Rambam, who ultimately holds it's not ma'akev, with the previous Shita, who thinks it is. Fascinating. So we're a little bit short on time, so I don't want to... Why would the bracha on Tzvira basically be ma'akev? It's typically a universal obligation. It's generic, and therefore it's not ma'akev, the mitzvah performance. So why would it be any different in Tzvira? Why would it play an outsized role, even if, for people like the Rambam and others, it's not ma'akev? So there's a really important discussion in the Ravya, which we just don't have time for, in source number 3, and the continuing Makoros. I'd be happy to do it a different time, or if you want to learn it yourself, I'd be more than glad to work it out. It's very complicated, very interesting. The case is dealing with, we just have time to mention this, the case is dealing with when a person, when he started the bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem, which is the Ikar HaBracha, good thing for people to know, that the Shem U'Malchus is really the key moment of the bracha. What? Yeah. Every bracha. What? The Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, that's like a key moment in the bracha, and even though the words you say at the end, of course, are important, having that idea in mind already from the beginning is very significant. So he talks about a case, what happens when a person, again, Maisim Mechoyon, when he starts the bracha, has the wrong day in mind and finishes right, or when he starts, he has the right day in mind, but he finishes wrong. Come again? No, sorry. When a person's counting Sfira and he has the wrong day, in mind at the beginning, but the right at the end, and vice versa. The right day at the beginning, but the wrong day. What's the din? So it's a fascinating question. It's very complicated. But we just don't have time to get into all of it right now. What's important is that what comes out of the Rabia is that the bracha, he thinks, is midoraisa and is ma'akev. He has a lashon, and therefore, if there isn't consistency between the beginning and the end, if let's say today is the 20th day and you don't have that in mind when you start the bracha, and when you end, the bracha is deoraisa, and you have to go back and do the whole sefira again. Come again? And when you count. Not just Kavanah, you have to say the right thing. We're talking about the whole thing, bracha until the end of your counting. Yeah, which is fat. No, I do mean the beginning of the bracha. He treats the thing, basically, it sounds like, as one long recitation. It's not that there's a bracha here and there's a sfira. He sees the beginning as a baruch and the end is with ha-omer. Or ba-omer. Ba-omer. Sorry. So it's a very, we just don't have time to really work through it. But what comes out, which is important, is that you have to go back and make it with a proper bracha. He has a line I bolded, lav milsehi list for below bracha. It is inconceivable that you'll do a sfira without a bracha. And if it was just an idiosyncratic view that the Rav Yah held and wasn't accepted by anybody, that would be one thing. But it seems like the Torah Paskin is Lamaisa, and the Beis Yosef only rejects it because he thinks that Rav Yah is working under the assumption that Sfira Bizman Hazeh De'oraisa. But we Paskin, Sfira Bizman Hazeh De'rabanan, and therefore, we just don't follow this Rav Yah. But in principle, it seems that both the Torah and Beis Yosef, the Mechaber, embrace this principle of Rav Yah, which really kind of propels the role of the bracha to a tremendous height. Some of the brachas ma'akev, in a way, you know, which is connected very deeply to the sefira. This brings me really to the final issue, the final like legal issue before we try to offer an explanation. There was this girsa floating around, this nusach floating around in the bracha and the sefira, that a person wouldn't say hayom yom hayom esrim yom, but there would be a shin at the beginning, shehayom. This was like it was really going around, and the poskim were had very strong different feelings about it. So, for example, before the Magen Avraham we're talking about, and the Taz. Yeah. So in source number nine, the Magen Avraham basically says that a person lo yomar shehayom v'chule. Why not? Because it's very strange. It's very clumsy. Without the shin. When you finish the bracha and then you start counting, you start by counting that today is the day. You don't make the bracha and then say shehayom because the day is. Why would we think ever to connect the sfira to the bracha? As if the bracha is like justifying. The sfira is like connecting and justifying speaking for the bracha. Why would we do that? So the Magen Avraham says not to do that, and the Taz as well. The Chilk Yaakov, for the very reason the Magen Avraham rejects it, thinks that it's a very legitimate and acceptable practice to somehow connect the bracha to the counting in such a way that the sfira itself speaks of the importance of making a bracha. And we make the bracha because today is whatever day it is. Very interesting, like a peirush on the bracha of sorts. It's a counting and a peirush. And because he felt, the Chilk Yaakov, that whatever a person's minhag is, you know, should be adhered to. But it's a fascinating thing, and it adds some more, another dimension to what we're trying to speak about in terms of, you know, the role of the bracha. The The Gra, in a different comment, basically explains, he felt that the way to explain the Rav Yah and this comment of Shehayom were basically connected. And really the Bracha and the Sfira is just one long recitation. It's part of Sfiras HaOmer. But I think even without saying that, a person might be able to suggest that even if the Bracha and the Sfira are independent, are separate, there could be a reason why Dafka in the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer more than any other mitzvah, places the Bracha in a role that's central to the very goal of Sfiras HaOmer itself. Because the time is short, the Rambam in Source 15, and it was later expanded in the Sefer Achinuch, a very famous, very celebrated Sefer Achinuch, explains what the whole purpose of Sfiras HaOmer is. What? The Rambam explains that the whole point of Sfiras HaOmer is to connect the holiday of Pesach to Shavuot. They explain that even though the Shalosh Regalim have their own independence, there are three important holidays in their own right, the holiday of Pesach really realizes itself fully and reaches its true meaning at the holiday of Shavuot. And so we can't have a Pesach unless we connect it to Shavuot. The Sefer Achinuch at one point says that there's no point of being free from Yetzias Mitzrayim to have freedom and free time if that freedom isn't ultimately going to be designed in a way that maximizes a person's life. Only with the Torah, when the Jews got the Torah, was the culmination of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the true purpose of becoming Avdei Hashem velo Avdei Paro. And therefore, because of that, we need Sfira, we can't leave a buffer, we can't just have empty days. It needs to be clear to everybody that Pesach cannot exist on its own. Freedom in a vacuum, for the sake of freedom itself, is not intrinsically valuable. And therefore, we connect the holiday of Shavuos through Sfira to Pesach. And this is what the Rambam and the Sefer Achinuch write. The whole purpose of Sfira is really to appreciate the development of the personality of the Jewish people. That they came really from the Memtes, level of Tumah. They were so far from a spiritual and meaningful life, a relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam, and by basically the good graces of the Ribono Shel Olam, we were able to have the gift of being bestowed Torah and halachic life, a life of Torah mitzvot. It's that story, that transition and transformation, the ability we all have today to do mitzvot and to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we celebrate, that we focus on, that we perform ourselves during the time of Sfira. To connect our Yetzias Mitzrayim to our Matan Torah, to becoming the Am HaNivchar with a special opportunity to live a life of Torah mitzvot. That's the goal of Sfiras HaOmer. If that's the case, is it more fitting? It's no more fitting than during Sfiras HaOmer for the Bracha, with the Nusach HaBracha, that I'll recite in just a minute, to play the outsized role that it does. The Bracha, the Birchas HaMitzvah, which says, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvos HaVitzivanu, who sanctified us with mitzvot. Vitzivanu, and he gave us a plethora of opportunities, as Rav Chananim and Akasha tells us, all these mitzvos, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos Yisrael, Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvos HaVitzivanu. What is a greater time than Sfiras HaOmer than to focus on the text of that bracha, to celebrate the transformation of the Jew, to be able to approach the Ribono Shel Olam, like the way the Rav invoked the concept of Berachas HaMitzvah, the ability to have hanah, to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through mitzvot. And so on Sfiras HaOmer in particular, more than any other mitzvah, does the bracha become an outsized role, thought by some to be ma'akeh. But even if you're the Rambam, and in our practice it's not ma'akeh, the kavana a person should have while they recite the bracha is the same they should have when they recite Sfira. I always thought it was interesting that there are more words in the bracha than in the actual Sfira itself. It's a little bit of an irony. And that's okay. Ironies happen. Coincidences do happen. But even the longest Sfira, you can check me on it, is never as long as the bracha itself. And I think if we harness and take advantage of this opportunity, we've now expanded, our capacity to benefit from the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. from the very minute we recite the bracha, we should already have the intent in mind that what we're doing is focusing on that day, on Shavuos, on Yom Matan Torah, the day that ultimately gave us the Torah, which is the Chai Olam Natav Isochenu, gave us the ability to live a life that's meaningful, that's transcendent, that can develop a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because He allowed us to. And when we think about the bracha, we recite that, and we make it part of the Sefirah, it ultimately serves the same end, the same purpose. And if that's the case, it's truly a rule-breaking bracha, an extraordinary bracha, a bracha to take to heart and to focus on as we do it every night. Shabbat shalom. Ha ha ha.